Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Chris on IMTM Worldwide Radio, and this is Around the ATL. Now, that being said, this will not be a typical intro as we usually would have done it. This is our first show in 7 months. Our last show was actually last July, 2021, so it's been a minute. Also, this is an experimental show for all intents and purposes. If you were listening on the Blog Talk live broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, you have heard a little bit of our intro, but then you have also heard the same intro again because I actually am on StreamYard right now broadcasting live. So syncing it didn't exactly work out like I wanted to. The countdown was actually almost simultaneous, but not quite. So right now I took a risk and I took off the intro from Blog Talk, the radio, and just let the intro that I created on StreamYard play. So after I finish all of this, I'll find out whether or not I can do either or. Can I sync it up better? We'll find out. That being said, we are live. So we're going to try to wing it for a little bit. Now, right now, if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, if you saw the notification, those who have been subscribed for like the longest time, if you could message me somehow just to let me know, are you able to hear well? Right now, Jordan, my co-host, has not signed in just yet, so I'm waiting on him. But if you can let me know how things sound. Actually, even better yet, those who might be watching on StreamYard right now, first of all, appreciate it. You're the first ones. Let me know if you hear the following. I'm gonna try to do something here. Again, this is an experimental episode, so it's not the typical intro as I usually would do it. Let's see, what can I play? Oh, that's really low. Let's see. That's better. Let me open up the chat. What's up, Jamal? Okay, so the reason it's muffled is because I'm broadcasting it from my computer directly have the microphone here, my blue microphone, that's picking it up there. So I'll have to kind of see if I can adjust that. That means I can't accept callers. So if you're listening, 646-652-4479, I hadn't said that in a long time, live on the air you will be. I'm listening, feedback, none on black. Okay, so far, that's why he hadn't called in yet. So Jordan was testing it as well, so he could hear it on the radio. So he'll be calling in soon. We also are going to try for the first time to see if we can be live on the air together visually for y'all. So again, if you're watching, you're listening, either or, we appreciate it. Again, subscribe to the YouTube channel. I'll post some other stuff up eventually. Hey, when you get finished with the show, hit me up. I was going to propose something. Okay, cool. All right. So that all being said, first of all, this is our first show since last July. So let's go ahead and do what we usually would do. Around the ATL was created about 3 years ago, but over the last 6 months, we've had some difficulties, mostly myself, just personally, just some health things that just was not going my way, did not allow me to really do any shows anymore, and again, just a lot of stuff going on in general, so I'll just leave it at that for now, but we're back. So whether it be you listen and watched us on Facebook sports pages that we're a part of, Falcons Nation, Dirty Bird Nation, Atlanta Bird Gang, We Are the G, the Savage Dogs of UGA Champions, New Pack City, Atlanta Hawks Nation, Hawks Nation, Atlanta Braves Fan Group Champions, Tomahawk Talk Champions, Atlanta FC Fans, Atlanta Dream, all those different pages we're a part of. Glad to be back, be hitting all of y'all up soon. Of course, tonight is going to be a little bit more Hawks-centric than usual. Probably the whole show is just going to be Hawks, but what we're going to plan on doing is doing a Hawks show, a Falcons show, a Braves show, because, again, a lot of stuff has happened since we were last on the air. Before I get to any more, shout out to the Originative brand. Although I haven't purchased a shirt or a hat lately, make sure you go on Instagram, look them up. If you need anything that is sports related, to your teams in Atlanta and the state of Georgia, you need to hit him up so you can get your singular attire from him. So hit him up for sure. And let's see. Okay, Jordan hasn't chimed in yet. And so far, he hasn't chimed in on StreamYard. So we'll stall just a little bit more. So actually what we'll do, now that I know actual certain things work, so I know with what things have happened and transpired, okay, things are not that great right now. Oh, wow, that's low too. I'm going to have to turn all these up. You know, things are pretty bad right now in Atlanta. The championships even things out just a little bit. But there's the other half that's not going so well. So we're going to talk about that in detail for sure as far as the Hawks season. In fact, I'll go ahead and show this one. If you got thoughts on the Knicks game, that's something that we'll be talking about. Jordan looks like he's almost chiming in. What has to happen for the Hawks to fix this situation? What was another one? What moves would you make at this point? That would be something that you can comment on. And, of course, make sure you follow us on IMTM Radio, Intellect ATL, and Jordan23 ATL on Twitter. Let me go ahead and put the follow on Facebook as well. Because, again, as I continue to kind of mix and match this a little bit, we're going to be experimenting, but we're going to see how we can pull this off. Okay, so it looks like Jordan is on StreamYard, so let's see if we can bring him into the show. And I got the chat back up again, so that's cool. All right, so let's see if I can work this out. Mr. Jordan Jackson, what's going on, man?
What's going on, sir? You have to excuse me. I'm in the dark right now. I'm trying to get to a little bit better lighting for you. I was really trying to listen in here on StreamYard first to see, you know, how everything sounded before joining, but
no worries. Like I said, we're experimenting. I already unplugged everybody, let them know. Now, Jamal was listening in, and so I played one of my sounders from the Blog Talk side of things, and he said he could hear it. I played, you know, the Ice Trader game for the Hawks intro. He said he could hear it. It's a little muffled, so I have to kind of figure out how I can unmuffle it. So it looks like we can, you know, do the radio as usual. We just have to experiment with you as far as that goes. Can people from StreamYard hear Blog Talk? That's what we got to figure out. But I'll find that out basically after we record this show, basically. So we'll work on that. So everybody, Jordan Jackson is on the line. Of course, he is a writer of many entities out there. Definitely on the sports side of things. He's been doing his thing for a while now on the writing side. So definitely check him out on different platforms. We'll mention it, or I'll let him mention it as well. But welcome to the show, Jordan.
What's going on, sir? It's been a while since we've had a chance to chop it up here on Around the ATL. So the world just keeps changing, but, you know, Atlanta sports goes on. And, you know, by the way, you know, since we've last talked to you guys out there, Atlanta, Georgia is now officially Wintersville, USA. The state of Georgia is officially the new state of champions, for all those out here who don't know. So I just wanted to make sure that, you know, out there, on the airwaves. I want to give a shout out to my guy, Jamie Goodman, who's been on the show with Bulldogs. He and his wife, who's also named Jamie, they got a chance to witness that entire, you know, basically championship run. They went down to Miami and went to the game against Michigan. For the national championship game, and they watched the Georgia Bulldogs bring it home. So,
that's cool.
And shout out to the Dogs, man, for bringing this state another championship here in the 2021 season.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. It was so, again, that interception pretty much took the cake. And I know pretty much simultaneously every Bulldog fan around the world jumped up and down at the exact same time, knowing that that sealed the deal right there. So that was definitely a great sports moment to remember for a long time, for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. That play is going to go down in history, man. I think I probably watched the play maybe 50 to 100 times.
Oh, hey, you could, because you know what's the word? You flabbergasted. You almost, even though it happened, it's almost like we really going to beat Bama. It took a minute to really sink in at a certain point, because it was like, okay, let's see if the refs, where the refs at? Let's see, are the lights about to get turned off? You know, what's going to happen? Because something had to happen to stop this, right? I mean, I'm just saying, I was paranoid. I was like, come on now. This ain't cool, but...
Yeah, that's the first thing I did. After jumping up and down, I started scanning the field to see if there was any yellow flag.
Any white flags, blue flags, what? You know, it didn't matter. It was like something had to happen. It was just too good to be true. Hey, for the first time, 646-652-4479 is the number for those listening live, and or you can chime in on StreamYard. The chat room is open. Let's go ahead and... actually, what I want to do is, since, again, it's been a while, so... Again, first off, we're glad to be back on the air. A lot of crazy stuff has happened, but we're still kicking. A lot has happened since we have been off the air. The Braves, of course, have won the World Series. UGA, as Jordan just aforementioned, has won the national championship. The Falcons did improve from 1 year ago. They won 3 more games than the previous year. The Atlanta Dream, they have kind of like a new everybody in the front office and ownership and all that kind of good stuff. So we'll talk about that another time. Atlanta United, they were eliminated from their playoff run, unfortunately. Didn't get started actually officially. And of course, the 2021 NBA season began. I mean, I guess we do have to really talk about it. I mean, we don't have to, I guess. But I mean, we're going to have to because we got to. You know,
Bobo, baby.
Hey, man, that wasn't supposed to happen right there.
Bobo, baby.
Oh, okay, so like I said, I'm experimenting now. So just throwing stuff out there randomly, you know. So a lot of stuff has happened. But tonight, again, is going to be a Hawks-centric show. We got to talk about what's going on. But I want to talk about it from a few different angles. Jamal says, not going to lie, I started screaming and went outside my house and screamed. I know I woke up some neighbors. Man, okay, so here at where I live, even before I opened up the patio door, you could hear literally the whole apartment complex rumbling outside. Now, a few people were drunk, you could tell. But yeah, definitely the whole state of Georgia, all for all intents and purposes, again, we're jumping up and down because, again, we had the lead, but it was still tenuous just because it's Alla doggone Bama. But that interception, though, that right there, it was just like, you know, you saw Kirby. I was like, man, I know Kirby wants him to stop running and fall down, but I don't want him to do that because I want that touchdown. So I'm glad he didn't listen to Coach because Kirby was running that sideline like he was in the game. You know how he do. But I'm glad
he jumped up.
Yeah, he got air.
He jump up in the air at the end of the Toyota commercial. I mean, he was up there. But I tell you what, it hit Stetson Bennett at the same moment it hit all of us. Because you could see his emotion on the sideline, and you could see the tears start to flow, you know, from everything he accomplished. And I'm going to tell you something. There was a lot of people in Dog Nation that looked just like Stetson Bennett, you know, in their homes in front of the TV. There a lot of eye allergy took place after that 15. Because, man, this is a moment that, you know, we've been waiting for a long time, basically all of our lives. I mean,
most of us, it's 40-plus years. Yeah.
Right. When the last one, the National Championship, I was 3 years old, sir. At that point, I was still watching cartoons, and if I was watching any sport at that point, it was professional wrestling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, man, I mean, it's just outstanding, man. I tell you, and one thing that really was touching was somebody took the time to go back and basically take different words from Larry Munson.
I saw that. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And put together like a highlight reel that made it seem like Larry Munson was calling the Kylie Ringo pick six.
Yeah.
And so I just thought that was really cool, man, because really that was the only thing missing from that title run was Larry Munson. And so to have him call, you know, vividly call that, I just thought that was masterful, whoever did that, man. And it's just a great use of technology, sir.
Very glad that Vince Dooley was still around, too, to see that. Jamal says Kirby got any eligibility left. His vertical is amazing. Heck, he might need to sign with the Falcons at this point. Linda says she went live on Facebook, went to Dick's Sporting Goods, got her championship gear. So excited we finally beat them elephants. So yeah,
absolutely. And one more thing too, I just want to say is that if he were eligible to run for office, Jordan Davis would win any office he ran for. This is a kid that gets it. At the championship celebration, you know, at the end of his speech, Greg, now keep in mind, this kid is from North Carolina originally now. He's not from Georgia, even though North Carolina is still Braves country. But to see him at the end take off his jacket and have a Braves jersey, reveal that he had an Atlanta Braves jersey on underneath and to say go Braves. And at that point, a big tomahawk chop broke out at Sanford Stadium. And so, man, it's just so great to see, you know, the UGA fans also celebrate the Braves championship in that moment. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was even the Braves players were supporting the Dawgs, in particular John Peterson, who had came to UGA that Saturday after the Braves won the championship and was honored. And he just really had a whole lot of congratulations, you know, a lot of accolades for the Georgia program. And it's nice to see, you know, Trey Young also gave him a shout out. It's nice to see the different athletes in the different sports around Georgia supporting and pulling for each other.
It's the tie-in. It's a universal tie-in that you're supposed to have by default, especially when you have a multi-sports team city like we do. For the other players to recognize through thick and thin their teams. You know, just like, again, Dansby had a great speech after they won in regards to it doesn't matter the situation, he's going to be a fan of these teams forever. And that's how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be a fan. So I really, I've always appreciated Dansby from the get-go. And he really spoke his piece as far as that goes. 646-652-4479 if you'd like to call in. On the Blog Talk Radio line is open. So that being said, let's get into it a little bit. So I have it posted up there on the chat room. You know, do you want to talk about the Knicks game? But before that, I want to say, you know, the following. So right now the Hawks, the Atlanta Hawks are 17-25. They're 10.5 games out of first in the East. They have now lost 5 in a row. All right. You have injuries. You had COVID. So, you know, is it players? Is it coaching? Is it a mix of the two? What is it? Is it anything else? Okay. But let me say this. The Hawks have had 22 games now that they've given up 110 points or more. They regularly allow teams to shoot 8 to 10 percentage points higher than 3-point percentage. They regularly give up 45 to 55 points in the paint. We overhelp. We don't talk through switches. We don't rotate. We don't block out. We won't get back on defense. And we always hear that lack of energy phrase during the broadcast, right? As opposed to other teams that we play against, right? So how is all of that possible if it is being learned, coached, directed, amended, right? Now, let's talk about that Knicks game just real quick, and then I'm going to let Jordan speak. So Big O is 100% from the field his last three games, okay? The game before last, he only played 15 minutes. Last night, he played 24 minutes. He was 6-for-6 from the floor last night, played huge on defense, part of the momentum. But he was taken out again in favor of Gallo. Now, later, I'm going to go quarter-to-quarter through that game just to kind of give you the evaluation of what had happened. But right now, we've got to get stops. We have the lead so many times now, but we can't get stops. By the way, Pittsburgh Steelers just got another touchdown. Are they trying to win the game? Anyway. But right now, even Gallo in the presser says that, you know what, we don't really have a lot of direction out there. And then Nate in the presser says, well, we did think about putting Big O back out there. But Jordan, why didn't he then, if he thought about it?
I don't understand it, sir. And that was a very disheartening answer to hear that. First of all, it's disheartening and just unbelievable that we're even – sitting there about to have a conversation about a Hawks team that has 25 losses, one game above the halfway point. 25 losses in 42 games. You would have told me before the season that that would have been the case for the Atlanta Hawks. I would have called you crazy. I would have went off on you. I would have gave you a 30-point PowerPoint presentation on why the Hawks would not have 25 losses. At this point in the season, and I would have been 100% wrong. It just doesn't make any sense. When you talk about that Knicks game, that run that we went on to actually get back into this game was sparked by Onyeka Okongwu, Big O. It was sparked by Lou, also, who hit a few threes. And Gallo made a couple shots during their run as well. But Big O's two big blocks on Julius Randle was key. And if you notice, as soon as Big O sat down, Julius Randle went right, he ran to the basket, drew contact, and got a 3-point play. He absolutely did travel on that play, but the point still remains the same. As soon as Big O left the game, it was open season on the paint again, and Randle went straight on the attack to the basket.
Yeah.
And so for Nate not to recognize that and not to put him back in the game, it is quite baffling. And we didn't have time to get him back. It's just confusing. And so, I mean, really, he should be honest. What happens is he chose offense over defense is what he did by choosing to leave Gallo in the fourth quarter and not coming back with Big O. And the messed up part about the whole thing, and we talked about this earlier, was on the broadcast, Vince Carter had just said, I know they're getting ready to put some of his starters back in, but he does not need to change the whole unit at once. Work the guys back in, you know, one or two at a time. And what did Nate do? He probably pulled 4 to 5 guys off the court that were on the court when the Hawks made the comeback, including Big O. The only guy he left out there was Gallo, who played the whole fourth quarter. And interestingly enough, Gallo stopped making shots when the other lineup came back in the game as well. And so it's just unbelievable we're in this situation, sir. I can't believe it. This team has too much talent to be where they are. Now, a lot of fans want to give the team the benefit of the doubt and talk about injuries and COVID. But I'm sorry, sir, I can't do that. And the main reason why I can't do that is because we've lost too many games to other teams who were also missing key players. We lost to the Charlotte Hornets without Terry Rozier and LaMelo Ball. We lost to the Denver Nuggets with no Michael Porter Jr., no Jamal Murray, you know, and a host of other players that were out in that game.
Yep.
We've lost to some of these teams. We lost to Miami with no Jimmy Butler the first game and no Bam either game. And so I feel like the Hawks should have enough talent and enough that if we got some of our guys out, but the other team has their guys, key guys out, the Hawks should win the ball game. And so, you know, the fact of the matter is we weren't playing well before all the COVID stuff hit. Obviously, that was a difficult period, but we weren't playing well before that, and we haven't played well really since everybody's gotten back. And we all know what the main problem is, sir, and that's the details of the floor.
646-652-4479. The moment that Big O was pulled, all I could think of was...
You don't know the power of the dark side.
So let me say this. And again, we'll get to hear whether or not we can even hear both tracks on the post show, but we'll see. Last year did happen, and myself and Jordan, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but I'm gonna tell y'all. So everything was valid last year. We played very well last year. We beat teams because we beat them, and it didn't matter who was on the floor. We had a lot of injuries last year, right? So when you look at last year to this year, we can't, like Jordan said, you can't use COVID or injuries as an excuse. You can't, because we have more than enough talent to win. And we prove that because most of the times we'll have leads and we will lose them. Now, I just talked about how we play so differently on defense right now. Decision making. What's being sacrificed here? I'm gonna have to turn this off in a second. What's being sacrificed in the guise of I'm going to prove that we can do this way, rather than saying, well, why not actually do what's actually getting us back into the game or have us have the lead? Why would you want to revert completely from that? Momentum goes a long way when it comes to basketball. Right. But then it's just a matter of the feel of the game. For some reason, and again, I'm pointing this towards the coaching staff, the whole coaching staff, is that for whatever reason, that's been lost in this season. And no matter what's obvious, the exact opposite happens. And it happened two nights in a row with Big O. There's no reason with Capella out and Gorgie Jang, there's no reason that Big O shouldn't be playing 35 minutes a game. None. There is no logical reason or explanation. He is not hurt. He is not old, right? But he continues to be pulled for someone who, yes, he scores some buckets, but he plays no defense. He has no affinity for defense. It's not going to happen. And as soon, like Jordan said, as soon as he's pulled, what is Randall do? I'm going to the hole. You see what I'm saying? So it's a matter of, Why is that so hard to see on the surface when this is this basketball and we're seeing the results? We're 25 games in the loss column. That should be impossible. Now, the other part of that is this whole energy thing and players not giving energy. After the first time Travis Slank threatened the team, nothing happened. Second time he threatened them, we had the Sacramento game, played well. But I said at 1:30 the next morning that that game meant nothing if Friday when we played the Lakers, we wouldn't play defense. And what happened? We didn't play a lick of defense, and we got beat by a team that we had no business losing to. So at this point, it's a matter of, okay, well, we have other players on the team, so why are we playing eight-man rosters right now? When we had players who was giving us energy as a la the Cleveland game showed us, energy galore, right? And then, of course, we could throw in the Rooks, who still haven't played yet. All the other teams in the NBA, their rookies are contributing big time, middle time, small time, but they're all contributing. How could it get any worse by playing our two rookies who could give us energy and also fill needs that we need? Rebounding, hustle, moving your feet, moving the ball around, actually orchestrating the offense. We're not getting that from the people he keeps putting back in the game and giving them more minutes. We've already had a trade getting rid of one person who wasn't getting minutes because TLC is, I guess, this great player that we didn't know about, right? So, again, it's a matter of what can happen at this point because Mike Conte, shout out to Mike Conte, he already put it out there. It's going to take 26 and 14 or something like that the rest of the season just to make sure we finish 500, not make the playoffs, just finish 500. And right now there's no sign that that's a possibility that that can happen. We literally need a 10. It's 24 and 16. I knew it was somewhere in there. There's no way. We can't even win two games in a row. We can't even win one game right now. We've lost five in a row. But we can't even win two games in a row. We literally need to win 15 in a row just to make hay in the East to say, hey, we're still a contender, kind of. But we just got beat by the Knicks twice now. That's embarrassing. We've lost to teams. We had no business losing the Miami game. No business at all. We had no business losing the Portland game. You can't have a 56 and 14 game effort wasted because we wouldn't double team Anthony Simmons. Who is that again? I don't know. But he dropped 43 on us. So, again, it's like, what can happen?
Right, that's another team missing their two best scorers, Dame Lillard and C.J. McCollum, but yet we still, you know, give up 130 points and allow this man to drop 43 on us.
43.
Wasted, just a historic franchise effort for Trae Young with 6 points and 14 assists. And you can't beat Portland with that? It's incredible, sir.
Exactly. Linda mentions we're talking about the Knicks game a little bit now in particular. Shouldn't Nate know not to let Kevin inbound the ball when it's a tight game? Kevin panics. Why haven't they continued to remind him of timeout? See, that's coaching for sure right there. And then that's coaching for sure to say, unfortunately, Kevin is not the best inbounder that we got. He just isn't. If not all the time, but crunch time, it gets there. You see what I'm saying? At a certain point, you know what? Trey needs to inbound the ball, or John needs to inbound the ball, or somebody who hasn't turned the ball over at all this season. Give them a shot to do it, but it really don't need to be Kevin because he has the tendency, the propensity to make a not great move. And in that case, it costs us the game.
We've seen that multiple times now where he's had key turnovers as the inbounds guy, and we had a timeout left. I mean, we called a timeout. Not too long, like 2 seconds after that, he called a timeout. And so there was no reason to throw that position away. And it was a big position in the ball game.
It was huge. It was monumental. And, again, that's where it's like, and I know you're going to mention the players, but I'll talk about the coaches, and you can talk about regression of the players, Jordan. How has it been – I'm going to reword this. What has happened for the coaching staff to regress as drastically as they have with the decision-making, rotations, accountability, things of that nature? Because, again, there's no one who can tell me that you're coaching defense per what we see every night. And now because of Gallo's presser interview, it confirmed what I've been saying. We just out there again on offense. Again, you're creating double teams on Trey because you're going to just continue to stand over here on the perimeter and just hope for the best type of a deal. And again, on defense, how can you just keep playing empty space, back turn to your player that you're supposed to be guarding, right? How are you not talking through? The other night now, they were talking through their rotations and switches or whatnot, but it only happens. It doesn't. If that had been happening all season, we wouldn't have 25 losses. If we had been playing better perimeter defense, we wouldn't have 25 losses. We're giving up 16, 17 three-pointers to teams that shouldn't be hitting 17 three-pointers. That's ridiculous. At a certain point, if you're not going to coach it, what did I say, Jordan? Fine them. $50,000 not getting back on defense. $50,000 for giving up an open three. $50,000 for not calling out switches. $50,000 for over-helping. How many times do we continue to have to see a person running 15 feet to throw an arm in the air? Maybe if they throw the arm in the air, because half the time, they don't even run. They just let the guy shoot. That's straight up coaching. But let's talk regression on the player side, because even though I say for the most part, we haven't really regressed, but there are some players who have. Tell us about those, Jordan.
Well, Well, really, it's several guys that aren't having their best season, to be honest with you. The two main culprits, in my opinion, are Clint Capella and Bogey Bogdanovich. And you can look at the numbers. Their numbers are pretty much down in almost every category. Their efficiency is down. Field goal percentage is down. Bogey has been ice cold for three more times than not. Clint still rebounded the ball well, but he's not leading the league like he did last year. His block shots have dropped from 2 blocks a game to 1.5 blocks a game, so which doesn't sound like a lot, but it makes a difference. And also, when you're blocking less shots, you're also altering less shots as well. So those are two of the main culprits. Until recently, Gallo has also been quite down. Now, the last three games, he shot the ball much better. But we haven't seen the same Gallo that we saw at the end of the year last year until just now. Recently, and you know, Lou Williams is an Atlanta legend, but he is not the same guy he was either. He's been cold more than he's been hot this year. And the last guy that I think that you can see a major difference in, and even though it wasn't here, is DeLon Wright. The DeLon Wright that we're getting is not the DeLon Wright that you saw in Sacramento at the end of the season last season. Now he plays good defense. He does play solid defense. But
10 points, 5 assists a night for 3 years, we are not getting. We're getting 3 points, 2 assists. Keep going.
Right. And that's one of my main things is he's not setting other guys up. It's like a lot of times he just kind of comes down and makes the pass and goes and moves to a spot. He's not really penetrating and breaking the defense down and making the game easier for his opponents. And so even though defense is our main issue, we also still have a problem with offense when Trae Young is off the floor. And, you know, bringing in DeLon Wright was supposed to help solve that problem. But yet, here we go again. And, you know, it's just very disappointing that we have to talk about that, but it's just a fact. We're the second best offense in the NBA when Trae Young is on the floor. When Trae Young is off the floor, we're, I want to say, the third or fourth worst offense in the NBA during the time he's off the floor. And that's just not going to cut it. And that's why, you know, to go back to what you talked about, the rookie, it's inexcusable or inexplicable why he won't give Sharique Cooper a shot to run that second unit. And here you are talking about a guy who he had the most assists per game in college since Trae Young averaged over 8 assists in college. I mean, the guy's
and that was college.
I mean, the guy's best skill is passing, and he's a natural passer. So why not give him a shot to run the unit and see if, you know, he could be the spark we need? But apparently, Nate is allergic to playing rookies, and like you said, he'll play the 15th man, the last guy we signed, TLC, before he plays a rookie on his team. And so it just doesn't make any sense to me, sir.
646-652-4479. The other part of that is, as well, is he's not afraid to shoot the ball. He can drive the ball as well. Talking about Mr. Cooper. And again, it's just irritating to have to hear the fact that Bob keeps having to mention, well, DeLon is solidifying his spot as the backup point guard. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Who else was the backup point guard? You telling me Lou was the backup point guard? That can't be right. Lou is not a point guard. And every time they try to have him run the offense, he turns the ball over, and then he's not really shooting because he's a shooting guard. He's three-time sixth man of the year. So for me, it's just so frustrating just on that element alone that you won't allow him to fail at least. You won't allow JJ to come in there and get some energy for this team because down there in G League, he's giving you 18 and 11. There's nice. He's giving you 32, hitting 6 from 7 from 3, giving you 6 assists, and swatting.
25 rebounds, or something like that. I know you're
so you're telling me that even – yeah, so you're telling me that the 18 and 11 and the 19 and 5 that Cooper is getting on full-time minutes, if you half that, because, again, we knew if we had our whole squad from the beginning of the season that the Rooks would not play just because of depth. We haven't had the depth all season. Even before COVID, we were down 5 players. So you mean to tell me that they couldn't play at all? You were just going to insist on playing 8-man rotations for no reason when you know you needed rebounding help and JJ can run the floor and he can cut to the basket. He could block. He could do all those things that we are not getting, and that doesn't mean anything. And that's the shame of it all like we might not ever know. And it's like, what moves are going to be made at this point when maybe no moves need to be made? It's just a philosophy. And that's what I've been saying for months now. We have no true philosophy as opposed from what happened last year to this year. And it's apparent on the court. No one can tell me otherwise because we have 25 losses and we have no shot of being in the playoffs right now or even winning a playoff series if we snuck in. There's nothing telling us that things are going to change enough for that to happen. So it's like, what can Travis do? We'll talk about that a little bit later, but I need to go ahead real quick, and then I'm going to try
real
something.
Real quick, because I'm still trying to figure out what I can do on the phone while on StreamYard. So I had to pull out my old tablet here
okay. To
get the actual stats, because you know I'm a numbers guy. When I talk about Bogey's numbers being down, I'm going to give these numbers to you. Last season, 16.4 points a game. This season, he's averaging 12 points a game, which is just 0.2 points greater than what he averaged his rookie season. Assists are down from 1.1 to 0.7. Steals are down from 1.1 to 0.7. Assists are down from 3.3 to 2.6. His free throw percentage is down from 90.9% to 77.1%. His three-point percentage is down from 43.8% to 35.4%. And his two-point field goal percentage is down from 52.2% to 49.2%. Now, that's with him basically playing one less minute this season than he did per game last season. So 1 minute should not equal all of these. So, you know, that's just an example of the numbers of how Bogey is basically down everywhere across the board.
That's disappointing. And again, we're talking about adjustments. You just read that off. However, he's still starting. You know what I'm saying? So at a certain point, it's like, okay, well, where is the switch going to happen to say he's not contributing? We need to figure out something else. Somebody else either has to get more minutes or something. Because, again, if the output is not matching up, and there are clutch times where we really need it, and there's those games where it's like he's 5 for 15 or 4 for 12 and all this kind of stuff, and it's like, well, what can we do? You know, because he keeps getting put out there, and if he's not producing, then where can we go? And since we're only going to play 8 players and you're relying on certain people, that's, again, we got 25 losses. What has been happening is not working. And what does one of our favorite coaches always say?
You play to win the game. Hello?
You see, I mean, and again, that's really not been translating out. And that's what the scary thing about it is like, where is the point of no return? Truthfully, we need to win those games against Miami and the Knicks back-to-back. One, because they're rivals, Miami being in the division. You know, we won a division last year. And then, of course, with the Knicks, as far as what happened last year. But for us to lose both of them the way that we did, that just goes, again, it's a matter of, I think there was somebody, I'm going to stop. There was somebody who said, I can't remember who it was, said at this point, when things do go wrong, the Hawks players get so dejected that at that point it's like, well, it's over because they don't, again, what was the thing last year? Believe. Yeah. And right now we haven't believed really since day one, it seems like, how things are going. So it's pretty worrisome, we're going to try to see if we can take a break, but I want to talk about, okay, well, what can happen then? You know, is Travis going to do anything? Will coaching staff do anything? Will the rotations change? We'll kind of go through those. And so if you're watching on StreamYard or listening on Blog Talk, you know, start typing in what you think can happen, what needs to happen. In the meantime, though, we're going to take a short break. This is going to be our first break of 2022. I don't know if this is going to work or not. So this is what we're going to try to do, Jordan. I am going to – don't do anything. I'm going to try something. I need to see if it works or not. So, okay, so that's – okay, so I blanked out, but how come I can't – okay, so I guess I would have to – okay, so this is what you would have to do, Jordan. I'm going to take you out, you would have to just come back in. I'll text you. Okay. By the way, everybody, this is an experimental show. This is our first show of the year. So don't mind us that much. But give me 5 minutes, Jordan, and then you come back in. But I'm going to try something. So before you do that, though, let's see if we can get this for the first time of the year.
I'm hearing quite a bit of static all of a sudden.
Really?
You are listening to Around the ATL with Chris and Jordan. We'll be right back with more Atlanta Sports Talk.
How bad is it?
It's pretty bad.
Because I can't hear that on my side. Is it still happening?
Yeah. I don't know if is your signal strong? I don't know if it's a signal issue.
No, it's not that. I haven't had trouble with that at all. So let's do this. Let's put stuff on pause. Let me see if I can figure out what it is. You don't go anywhere. I'm going to not be anywhere for a minute. I'm going to try something real quick. Let's see if it's a work first.
Okay, it just cleared up then.
It did? Okay. All right, so this is what I'm going to do. Let's see if I can find it. Ah, cool. All right, so I'm going to pull you out for right now. So like about five, I'll text you, and I'm going to take myself out. We're going to play a little music to go out for a minute for the first time all year. Again, this is experimental, just trying stuff on the fly here, y'all. But this is my bad. Okay. I forgot that was up. I'm experimenting with all this. This is my first time doing half of this right now. We're going to be right back. We're going to talk about what the Hawks can do to amend this season, save the season. Like, this is where we're at. Like, there's nothing else to say. We have to try to save this season somehow. Can the players, can the coaching staff, can the general manager? We haven't heard from Wrestler yet. Is it salvageable? It might not be. I mean, really, again, we literally have to win 10 games in a row somehow. I don't know how we're going to do that. It has to start tomorrow. Like, yesterday was a must win. Friday was a must-win, and we're not winning none of the must-win games so far. But literally Monday, we have to win the game. Figure it out. Cheat if you got to. I don't know. But we're going to talk about a little bit more from that end. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Like I said, this is Chris Jordan on Around the ATL on IMTM Worldwide Radio. We will be right back. Jordan, I'm going to pull you out. Just give me about 5 minutes and just join back, okay? All right, let's see if I can try this now.
Strength and capability.
what's going on, everybody? This is Chris around the ATL on IMTN Worldwide Radio. Almost forgot my show. 646-652-4479 is the number. We got Jordan back. And thanks for everybody being patient. Again, I'm actually basically doing two shows in one right now. And in doing radio, you do want to try to take breaks every now and the blue moon. We do 2-hour shows, and we talk about all Atlanta sports and Georgia sports, professional and college. And again, we got a lot of time to make up for, of course. We're definitely going to do a UGA show, but we talk about Georgia State and Kennesaw State and Albany State and all those teams as well. So definitely, if you're a college fanatic, you definitely need to tune to the show because of that. We're going to talk about Atlanta United. We're going to talk about Atlanta Dream, so if you're a sports fan of those teams as well, you got to chime in. But of course, our mainstay teams have always been the Falcons, the Braves, and the Hawks. So again, just want to appreciate everybody who's listened over the last few years. Again, the last 6 months have been just a little crazy. I'll just say that. But we're still here, and we'll look at redoing some of our shows to kind of redo an anniversary show because we didn't get a real chance to do that as we usually would. So we'll be catching up soon. 646-652-4479 is the number for those who might be listening on the Blog Talk. Now, that's going to be the other transition, Jordan. How are we going to figure that out? So far, we hadn't had a chance to test it because nobody's called in yet. But I'll figure that out another time, I guess. We'll see. So as we were leaving break, we were talking about where we stand as far as Hawks go. Can it be fixed? We are 17-25. So what would have to happen, especially after the, knowing what we would need to do just to get to 500, Jordan, what would be some of the things? So that's half and half. Do you think it's going to be a matter of personnel, or do you think it can all be fixed on the floor, between the ears, coaching staff, rotations, methodology, philosophy, or is it going to be a mixture of the two? What are your opinions, and I'll come in after.
I think probably a mixture of the two, Chris. I definitely think Travis Schlenk would make some type of personnel move. I don't know if it'll be a blockbuster move like some people are looking for. I mean, certainly if the right player becomes available, I think Travis Schlenk will make a move. But right now, the only real all-star caliber player that seems to be available is Ben Simmons. Now, Ben Simmons, we know, can play defense. We also know Ben Simmons can create for others. But, the obvious question about him is where is his head at? He hasn't played all season after what happened in the playoffs last season. And then there's also a major issue with the fit between him and Clint Capella, both being in the same lineup and teams basically being able to back off of them and kind of load up on the other three guys that are out there, with either one of them being a shooter.
For the love of God, he just shot a three.
Everything to me. Now, some of the guys on Twitter, shout out to my guy Ether, one of them, but seem to think that it's possible that the Atlanta Hawks could put together enough young players and draft picks to get Ben Simmons without trading John Collins, without trading DeAndre Hunter. If we could do something like that, I think he would be worth taking the chance on, to be honest with you, if we could somehow make that happen. Honestly, it's not going to happen in a one-for-one trade with Philly. It would take a third team to come in that's looking for a bunch of draft picks, looking to maybe get young players like a Jalen Johnson type, some of those type guys, maybe Sharif as well. But I do think it would be worth it if we could do it that way, because it solves defensive issues and it solves a secondary playmaker issue. And so basically, we could always have a situation where Trey or Ben Simmons is on the court. We should never have a situation where there's no one out there to facilitate the offense and to make the game easier for other players. But it gets a little bit more complicated. Personally, I'm not in favor of trading John Collins to get Ben Simmons. I'm a John fan. Now, granted, I've been disappointed in John these last two games with his rebounding. because I really wanted to see him to step up and grab more boards with Clint being out these last couple games. But I really feel like John Collins and Ben Simmons are a great fit together because what one is weak at, the other is very strong at, and vice versa with both guys. John is a great shooter. You know, John is a great finisher. Ben is a great playmaker and a great defender. You know what I mean? So I feel like those guys actually complement each other perfectly. The other issue would be, you know, if DeAndre Hunter is required to make a deal, I think you got to consider it. I'm not sitting there saying I would certainly do it, but I do think you have to consider it. And the only reason why I think you do it is just because of how much time DeAndre has missed injury-wise. DeAndre Hunter was always healthy. I wouldn't even be considered. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think you do have to look at it. I think it's certainly something interesting. I mean, obviously, my ideal target would be a guy like a Jaylen Brown or a guy like a Donovan Mitchell, but those guys don't seem to be on the block. And so I think Ben is the best-case scenario. I think a good fallback option that we could possibly get for a young player and a couple picks would be maybe Jeremy Grant from the Detroit Pistons, which would give us a long, athletic guy who could defend. And I don't think he would cost us near as much to get as Ben Simmons would. So those are a couple moves I think people can look out for on the deadline. If Frank is unable to make such a big move such as those, I do think we'll see somebody brought in here, though, to help with defense. I do think we'll see somebody brought in here, possibly even another point guard brought in here if he's not satisfied with what he's seen out of DeLon right so far. Because one thing I give Travis Schlenk credit for, he will correct his mistakes.
Yeah, we've talked about that. Just talking about Ben Simmons real quick, one of the things that, of course, a lot of people would, you know, kind of be worried about when it gets down to it is in a big game, and he has the ball and he has to shoot it, and then, you know.
For the love of God, he just shot a three.
You know, so just got to throw that out there. Just all right, so here would be the deal. Now, you mentioned Jeremy Grant. I'll backtrack a little bit. So would he really bring enough to say he would affect games? Because one of the things I mentioned in the video the other day, which is on the IMT and Worldwide Radio YouTube page, go check it out, is being ineffectual or actually being able to affect a game enough to where wins are involved. You know what I'm saying? And so, again, it's a matter of, for me right now, it's a matter of we have all these players that we all know got the talent. How are we so far away from winning right now? And would it matter if you brought in other players? Would we still be doing the same stuff? See, again, at a certain point, the talent alone by itself is at everything, you know, because I've already kind of mentioned it. It's a matter of if the philosophy doesn't change, all these players coming back from injury and COVID and everything, we haven't been winning, have we? You see what I'm saying? For the first time all season, basically everybody who's supposed to be on the roster is on the roster now, and we have 25 losses despite that. So for me, that's a big issue to say if you were to bring anybody else in, would it matter or not? Now, Ben Simmons and maybe having to give up Hunter, like you said, he hasn't played. He hasn't played really at all almost. Full healthy, yeah, it wouldn't even be a question mark because he'd be one of the best players on our team. He was showing that last year, obviously. We win the Knicks series because he was there, you know, full healthy. But I just look at it from, I think the philosophy, if that could just change just a smidgen, we would win some of these 50-50 games that we've been losing. You know what I'm saying? Just decision making on rotation. Okay, you don't want to bring Cooper and JJ in, okay, fine, but you need to change the minutes on some of the people who are not doing anything in these games sometimes. 4-point games, 3-point games, 5-point games, and you're giving them 25 minutes? That can't keep happening. That doesn't, you again, it's about the feel. Again, if you've ever played basketball, you know when somebody is cold. You know it. And you're going to keep letting them shoot out the team? That ain't cool to me anymore. We've lost 25 games now watching it happen, and I don't care who it is. You got to pull them. You got to say, hey, come here, because you're shooting us out. I need you to go set some screens. I need you to go and just concentrate on rebounding for a minute, because right now you're not hitting, and we need to give somebody else who's hitting 70% from the field right now. Sometimes that be Red Mamba, sometimes that be John, sometimes that be Trey, sometimes it'll just be whoever, but you can't keep letting the person shooting 27% from the field keep shooting the ball until he gets hot. That's not winning basketball to me. So that, like I said, I'm a little half and half on saying, do we really need to make subsequent changes like that? Because the other part of that is too, we got one trade out the way. That was Cam, right? Now apparently Cam has been wanting to go the whole time. For whatever reason, only New York was giving up a first round pick. I still don't believe that, but whatever. Okay. But did that actually really bring enough of a change to say, okay, we're going to start winning now because the one person who really didn't want to be here is gone? It almost worked, but at the end of the day, guess what? The philosophy of the team lost that game more than the talent. Even with Red Mamba and the turnover, we still should have won that game, right? So I think right now, whether it be a Ben Simmons or Jeremy Grant or figuring out a way if you could trade Clint or whatnot to get somebody who's much better at finishing, somebody who could be a threat from the field as well. And not even from the field, like three-pointers, but can you shoot a 15-footer? You see what I'm saying? Because a lot of times at the end of the day, you're playing 4-on-5 at that point. That would be the fear of having Ben come in here. Can we do enough to offset that? Maybe, because he can get to the basket. That would be one advantage that you would have, right? And he's a pretty decent passer. So would that even things up? Maybe. But still, would it be enough to get us a 10-game win streak? Like, we really would have to get a player and or players and play people regularly that can really help do that. And that's the biggest question, I think.
Right. 8 games is not easy to make up, man. I mean, you know, there are 40 games left. But, I mean, you're looking at not only do you have to win 8 times, the team above you have to lose 8 times in order for you to make up 8 games. And you're only going to play that particular team head-to-head probably twice at most. You know what I mean? And that's what it would take to get to the 6th spot. Now, we're 4.5 games out of the play-in. That's certainly doable. I can't believe we're even talking about the play-in right now.
It's depressing.
It's just so disappointing. But, I mean, I think that's probably about the best-case scenario, Chris, that if you make the right changes, you gel, you make the play-in, win your way into the playoffs, and hopefully you can upset, knock off, you know, a number one or number two seed in the first round. You know what I mean? I think that's probably the best case scenario at this time. I hate to say it, Chris, you know what I mean? But I'm going to go here. If they don't do something like that, probably got to make another coaching change, Chris. It's probably got to make another coaching change. And I know a lot of people are going to be like, oh, that's crazy. We just brought him in here. But the fact of the matter is we only had a half a season sample size of Nathan Miller to see, you know, what he could do. And that half a season was great. And the playoff run was great. But to come back this season and for the wheels to be falling off like they are, it leads me to believe that Nate is not that guy that's going to lead us to a championship. Because to me, a championship caliber coach would have done something different to put a stop to this before the wheels fell off like they did. And so, you know, sometimes you just got to admit your mistake, man, and be like, well, we thought he was the guy, but he wasn't the guy. And it's almost better to go ahead and move on this year, go ahead and find someone that can relate to these young players, that they respect, but they also relate to. Someone that's going to give us some type of advantage from a schematic standpoint, systematically, but also be a motivator. I think that's what's going to have to happen. I have no problem, you know, if they go ahead and give Nate the rest of the season just for some fact that none of his assistants ain't going to be able to step in.
Has that ever happened before where, you know, in the middle of the season, if the head coach was changed, they actually got rid of all of the assistants at the same time as well? I don't think that's happened before.
That's a good question. I doubt it, just for the simple fact that they usually elevate one of the assistants when they fire the head coach in season. And so, yeah, I don't know if it'd be a situation where they just get rid of the whole staff. Like you mentioned earlier, Travis Schlenk want to come down and coach the team at that point. You know what I mean? I'm sure he can put together some
He was great on the microphone. I'm just trying to tell you. I mean, you know.
Or bring the G League staff up. But, I mean, Nathan Miller himself said that we were in win-now mode. Nathan Miller himself said that development was over, which is quite a daunting statement. But when you say development's over and these are the results you get, somebody's got to pay a price for this, sir. And so if they don't make the play-in, even if they do make the play-in and then just get bounced in the play-in or bounced in the first round, I think you got to make a change, sir.
What's that? Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
We're just trying to win a game right now. So, all right. So here's the deal, everybody. So listen, we should not be talking about this at all. This should not be the subject matter, obviously. Okay. And you have to know that as much of Atlanta Hawks fans that both of us are and all the Atlanta Hawks fans are, when it's this bad, we do have a right to say it's bad. We do have a right to bring out the players that are being deficient in what they used to do and what they're doing now because we have 25 losses. If our record was inverted, we wouldn't be having this conversation nowhere near to this extent. Nobody wants to trade Clint or Hunter or anybody like that. One, I want them on my radio show. But the thing of it is, it's a matter of we are trying to win. Now, we were two games away from the finals last year. That wasn't made up. If it wasn't for that ref, we were going to be in the finals. And we might have won. That was taken away from us. And for us to go from there, remember, we were six games under 500 a year ago. But six games under 500 a year ago, you could see, well, I'm saying it for the whole time, we have enough talent to not be 14 and 20 at that point. Can't say that right now as far as what's going on the floor because there is no way you can just up say you can be confident every game that we go into because of all the other outside elements that have put us in this position in the first place. And you don't see anything changing. So like, you know, Jordan said it, would it mean a drastic change to say, okay, we've got to swap out the coach? But it's a matter of, again, leaving it to who's been on the bench to help him, they haven't helped him at all, like none. So it's like, could you do it and then actually bring in someone else? Is there someone out there possibly? Like maybe, I don't know, can you bring Larry Brown out of retirement? I don't know. You know, he loves defense, obviously, right? Something has to change drastically because, again, the self-admissions don't mean anything until actions happen on the court to say we're going to change this. You see what I'm saying? That right there about putting Big O back in there and they're doing it enough time, I'm like right there, when I heard that, I was like, okay, well, this is it then. You know, because where else are you going to go with that? That's where else are you going to go with that? Because that didn't make any logical sense. And I'm a very logical person. I think we just lost Jordan there. I'm a very logical person. We'll wait until Jordan comes back. But, again, do you try to make a coaching change? Do you make drastic changes in the lineup in regards to the player personnel part of it? Can you change it on the side of rotations? I just feel strongly if we could just change the rotations just a little bit. I mean, again, there's no reason that Big O should have had 24 minutes rather than 35 minutes, and no reason he shouldn't have been in the fourth quarter 12 minutes rather than Gallo. Gallo didn't score in that game the fourth quarter, y'all. He didn't. You see what I'm saying? So at a certain point when Big O was the catalyst for that comeback at the end of the day, to not have him in there all the way in, and then you put in people who weren't hitting those shots either. Lou was hitting shots, but Kevin wasn't. You see what I'm saying? So, again, Trey, I don't even think scored. You see what I'm saying? you can't keep taking wins away. And that's what it seems like that keeps happening, is that wins keep getting taken away from us, especially if we have leads. You know, if we have multiple leads, I don't know, I can't remember if it was the Portland game or some game in between, but to have two double-digit deficits basically evaporate just because, that doesn't sit well with me. 646-652-4479. So on the side of the show tonight, first of all, again, thanks for everybody for participating. Linda, Jamal, initially, anybody else who's been watching or will watch after the fact. Again, this was, on the technical side, an impromptu show. This is a test show, as we're doing two shows in one. I'm broadcasting live from Blog Talk Radio. I'm broadcasting live from StreamYard, and we're integrating them somehow because, again, we're going to keep our radio show going. We're going to have call-ins, continued guests, because what I'll be able to do now is we'll have guests who can only call in, but we might have guests who won't mind getting on camera for you too, you know, so we'll be able to have both of those aspects for everybody. So I'm excited about that. And again, this is my first time doing it, and this is my first time doing a show in forever. So some stuff I just have forgotten how to do, forgotten what to do normally as far as producing the show. But then with StreamYard, I'm not used to using it, so I'm kind of playing around with it a little bit too. I think Jordan is back. Jordan, are you back, sir? Uh-oh, you probably texted me. Nope, you didn't. So Jordan is coming back. Okay, wait a minute. We got two streams. I don't know which one is which. Give us a second, folks. And again, thanks for the support. So as we wait for Jordan, I think he has a signal thing going on. That's what it looks like. We'll try this again. Thanks for everybody for being patient. Chime in as far as what you think in regards to our last topic of the night, because we're going to be wrapping up the show soon. Do you think that the Hawks need to make trades? Do you think it needs to be coaching? Do you think it's a mix of the two? Do you think simply changing the rotations in regards to minutes played, who's starting, who's off the bench, could solve it? Would the Rooks help? Is it worth even playing? Is it worth playing the Rooks to see what they can do? You know? So that's the question. Oh, man, we might not be able to get Jordan back. Let me try this again. Well, I don't want to ban him from the studio. I think his signal is gone wherever he's at. And shout out to Jordan again. Y'all don't know, but lots of times when we're doing the radio show, you know, he's working on a remote basis basically. So when you hear him on the radio, he's somewhere anywhere in Atlanta. So shout out to Jordan for even being available tonight. It's snowing out there in Atlanta. I saw it. It snowed a little bit here, but didn't accumulate like it did up there. So definitely be careful up there on the roads. Y'all know how some people get when it snows. So just be careful. Let's see. I think I have one more Hawk note that I wanted to mention. So as I wait for Jordan to see if he gets back in, let's see if I can find it real quick. All right. So obviously we did trade Cam Reddish, as I mentioned. And with Cam, it's, you know, once you learn that he was trying to go, you know, you can't really say too much at that point. But, you know, you hate to lose a young player. You know, but we'll see how that ends up translating out to us long term. But I think it did mean that they're going all in on Hunter. So for me, as a matter of fact, that's one reason I would say we can't let Hunter go, because at this point we're kind of tied to him. We need to be tied to him because for me, I'm like, he can't get hurt for another 10 years straight. That's what I said. And maybe he won't. Players do get hurt. You know, but because he has had these different injuries over a period of time and not played so much, he doesn't have as much leeway as someone else who hasn't missed any games at all. You see what I'm saying? So injuries that are not so much, you know, I don't want to say like freak accidents or anything like that. Any old injury that takes him out the lineup hurts, you know, just the overall look of it all. But skill-wise and what he can do on the floor is really big for us right now. And I think we're going to have to lean on him. He's another scorer on the floor, and, of course, he can play defense, you know. So I think we need to rely on that, and I think, you know, his minutes need to be where they need to be as a starter, you know. Oh, that was what it was. So the other thing is Mr. Knox. Apparently we're not trading him. So I guess my other point as far as rotations go is we're trading – for a player who wasn't playing on the Knicks, and we have JJ still sitting on the bench, and he's been here all year, would you really actually play Kevin Knox just to see what he can do when you've had JJ this whole time as a actual proposed high draft pick who, because of his injury, dropped like he did, and we were fortunate enough to get him? Remember, Jalen Johnson was a top five pick, more than likely, if not hurt beforehand, right? So that's the only reason I keep pushing on that. And it's just like Jordan mentioned, and we've all mentioned it, there's only two point guards in college basketball history that have done what our two point guards that we have under Hawks contracts have done. Score 20 points and get 8 assists in the season. It's not easy getting almost double-digit assists in college basketball because of what college basketball is and how it's played. For him to be able to average 8 assists means, by definition, he's trying to pass the ball all the time. I said about Trae Young in summer league when he started that he's trying to get 15 assists a night. Wait till he gets to the NBA. If people hit their shots, that's what he's going to do. And look what he has done. Look at where he has put his name in the historical of the NBA for all time in 4 seasons, right? So, again, it's a matter of we don't even want to see if we got that part 2 with Cooper. That's crazy to me. That's wild. That's wild. It's wild. I'll just say that. All right. So I'm not sure. Let me shoot. Let me take a minute. Let me just make sure that Jordan ain't got snowed under or something or eaten by a snow monster or something. And again, thanks for everybody for tuning in on Blog Talk Radio, 646-652-4479. You still have a chance to call in. Probably going to close the show at the top of the hour. And, of course, everybody who's watched and will watch on StreamYard. I posted it only in a few pages. Again, it was an impromptu show. Decided to do it and just trying to set everything up, just trying to see if it would work. The syncing of the shows, both shows launched almost at the exact same time, but because I have the same intro on both shows, it's just a matter of I have to pick one. And because I can't do it from my end as far as listening to the show, both shows, because I'm here doing this, it was kind of hard for me to kind of pick one. But, you know, hopefully after I finish recording all of this and, you know, link it all up, I'll be able to kind of see what does work and not. And I'll be better at transitions next time because I'll be used to it a little bit more. Again, when you haven't done radio in 7 months, because it was last July we did our last show. It's a little bit, well, not scary or anything, but you are a little nervous and whatnot being live on the air. But I do appreciate Jamal and Linda participating earlier, commenting. Definitely appreciate that. And anybody else who does, you know, I see some likes on the page, so a few people looked at it. I appreciate that, of course. Follow us on Twitter. I'm going to post that real quick. And IMTM Radio on Twitter. Intellect ATL also on Twitter. And Jordan23ATL on Twitter. Let's see if I can put that up there. Nope, that's not it. There it is. So go follow us on Twitter because we're pretty active on there. I'm going to start being more active on the IMTM radio page. I created that, but just because of what happened last year, I just couldn't be on everything anymore. So I had to pick one. So I picked my personal page on Twitter. So check me out there. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook, IMTM Worldwide Radio. All of my radio will be on there. Because I have other shows other than the sports show, obviously. So go and check that out. Hopefully we'll have the first Women in Business radio show coming up soon. The first interview in a long, long time. So definitely check that out. And I am waiting for a response from Jordan just to see if I'm closing out the show or not. I think I'm going to close out the show in a bit. But again, y'all, Atlanta sports is different. It's getting better. We're reclaiming some of what we know we have here. And it's exciting to see. Again, a lot of people want to talk smack about the Falcons, but the Falcons are a better team than they were last year and really the last few years. We have an open window still, believe it or not. 10 losses or not, we got better in different things that matter, okay? And it's going to translate into more wins next season. And at the end of the day, we did have 7 wins rather than 4 wins the previous season. Yeah, because of the extra game, it looks a little worse. It is what it is. And comparatively to the talent that we had on last year's team and ended up 4-12, for us to be 7-10 this year with less talent is very big. And we won 7 games out of 9 of one score games. We won 7 of those. We lost all those games last year. That's progress. And we're going to get better. We're going to get better people in the draft. We're going to get better people in free agency. And we have some people here that are going to continue to get better as well. This coaching staff and organization will develop people. They're not scared of development, okay? And they also not going to let you play if you're terrible, unless there ain't nobody else, okay? And in that case, you got to play. But you saw during the season with the Falcons, they took out people who couldn't play. They lifted up people from practice squad and all kind of stuff, you know? So there is accountability on this team as well, and that has to be exciting. And again, we kind of mentioned the WNBA and the Atlanta Dream. You know, they have new management, new coach, new everything. We're going to see what they're going to do player personnel-wise because of all the craziness of last year. Atlanta United, they're a better team. So next year, maybe look for them having a championship run possibly. You know, of course, the Braves. You know, they won the World Series. That was a moment, that home run by Solar, who's going to be remembered for a long time. That was another moment where everybody who was a Braves fan all over the world and or hated Houston jumped up simultaneously. You know what I'm saying? That was an historic home run. So you got to look at that. And then, of course, UGA just winning the national championship. We kind of talked about that during the show. I don't know why. So he lost connection. But UGA winning the national championship after not being able to pull it off, but being so close. And remember, from the Rick years to Kirby, we were really in the mix. We weren't just kind of fainting the mix, the opening of the season being ranked and whatnot, but then get to the end of the season, we're in some minuscule bowl that nobody really cares about. But when Kirby got here, we were national championship contenders. We've been in 2 national championship games, right? We kill everybody in our conference, except for them, right? So we were legit contenders when Kirby got here. And from now on, can you imagine the players that are about to come through here now? Everybody is going to want to be here now. Because we were already doing really well in regards to players coming in, but now it's going to be sky high. So you got to be excited about that. So we're going to be making up for lost time. Like I said, we're going to be doing individual shows for the individual sports teams. So the next show probably will be Falcons because the NFL season is in playoff mode right now. We're not in it. So we'll probably do that. We'll do Braves and UGA down a little bit. But we've got to be excited about Atlanta sports again. So hopefully you don't give up. Again, the Hawks are in some dire times. It's turmoil like we've never really seen it before based on what has happened. It's not like us winning the Eastern Conference with 60 wins and going up against a team that at the end of the day, it was just a mismatch, right? And we got swept, you know, and then the next season got swept again, right? Because the expectations were a little bit different then. This, you had Trae Young on your team, right? And you were 2 games away. With all the injuries and all the other stuff that we had happen last year, we were 2 games away. We shouldn't be where we are, but we are. So can it be fixed? We're going to find out. We're going to find out. Travis still hasn't said nothing yet from what I can see, unless I missed it. Tony Wrestler hasn't said nothing. So we're going to see what Monday morning brings on a game that you can't lose at home against the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, so we'll see what happens. But in the meantime, we're going to end the show. And now I got to figure out how I'm going to end the show. I hadn't thought about that till just now. So what we're going to try to do is, oh, I know how I'm going to do it. So I did an impromptu video edit because I didn't want the FBI to come and get me using people's footages illegally and whatnot, because I don't know all the ins and outs of that, but I really just didn't want to risk it. So I created something just for the show, and I'm going to kind of tweak it a little bit, you know, over the next couple of weeks or whatnot to kind of get it exactly how I wanted to, because I was doing it really, I don't know what time of the morning it was, 2 o'clock in the morning, I guess it was, I was trying to figure it out because I haven't been doing any editing. I haven't done, remember, guys, I've been pretty much dead to the world for 6 months, and so a lot of stuff I stopped doing. I wasn't shooting. I wasn't editing. I wasn't doing anything, but I'm kind of back now, so we'll see how regular we can go for the next couple of weeks. But I edited something just for the show, so let me see if I can find it, and I'm going to play it. And y'all can let me know how y'all like it. But in the meantime, I'm going to get out of here. Oh, wait, he's on the phone. Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, hold on. Jordan, thanks for calling in, man. I was actually almost about to wrap up a little bit.
Yeah, I hear you getting ready to wrap the show up. I'm having some technical difficulties. I'm not certain, but all of a sudden I've lost like all network connections. But I can still call. I got a signal that can call in, so I don't understand what's going on. My apologies, sir.
Oh, wow. No worries. I was just kind of going through how we're going to be doing shows over the next couple of weeks, making up for lost time as far as talking about, you know, the different teams and their, you know, situations going into 2022, and then kind of talking, going back about the championships of the Braves and UGA and whatnot. And we were just kind of doing that. Anything you want to end off on? Hopefully everybody can hear. I'm going to make sure we can. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I hate all that lost connection while we were in the process of talking about changing the team. I would just say that it's unfortunate that we can't trade Clint Capela until the offseason, because what I really see as a good fit would be if somehow we could get Ben Simmons and also get Miles Turner to play the center position, because he blocks shots, but yet he can still stretch the floor. You know, and so it makes us a much better defensive team without us being a poor offensive team, having two guys on the floor that can't shoot. I feel like Ben, Miles Turner, and John Collins would be a great front court, but unfortunately I don't see really a way to make that happen without being able to trade Clint Capela before the deadline. I just want to see these Hawks get it together, man, and yeah, I never thought I'd be talking about the play-in, but at this point, like I said, that's probably going to be our best bet, is to get in the play-in, win the game to get in the playoffs, and let's go ahead and try to upset somebody at high seed and get them on up out of here. I mean, you know, we always play Miami tough, and I also like my chances with an inexperienced Chicago team if we get it together. Because with the way we've been playing lately, I don't really like my chance against anybody, sir. To be honest with you, except for Orlando. I like my chances against them in Detroit.
I don't think they're getting to the playoffs, though. So I don't know if we can do a series with them. That would be great just to warm up again. But I don't know if that's going to really work out. But you're right, though. I mean, again, by any means necessary, if it has to be the play-in, again, we were the fifth seed, and your fifth seed almost made the NBA Finals. So if it gets down to it, I don't care really if it got down. You want to be at least doggone 500, though, right? You want to look like you're competitive, you know, and you want to look like you can win a series, you know, because none of this matters if you do get to the playoffs, but then we get swept. That would just be embarrassing after everything that happened last year. And I think that's where the angst comes in at. We were two games away and looking as good as we were, and then just the bottom fell out, and there's no tangible reason why. I will say this about Miles Turner real quick. I've kind of soured on him a little bit because over the last few weeks, he hasn't really been playing that well. Yeah, he hasn't really been doing a lot in Indiana's favor, you know. And I'm wondering now, it could be a fit thing, and this could be a perfect fit because he was somebody I mentioned initially when Indiana started talking about getting rid of everybody. And that was the first time I even hinted at talking about anything on the trade end, just for the principle of it all, but I wasn't really thinking it then because I didn't think it was really possible or plausible or we needed to do anything. But, of course, as the weeks progressed, that changed. I was thinking more on the lines of Sabonis because he does finish. He does have post moves. He can play post defense because he can move his feet, and he can shoot, and he can rebound. You know, he just don't block shots like that, though. You know, but Miles Turner would be a bigger fit as far as him being able to, you know, do a lot of those other things and block shots and rebound and stuff, and he can shoot also. So I don't know. But
I wonder if he's not having a little bit of trouble dealing with all the trade rumors is maybe the reason why his recent performance has fell off a little bit, because I think this is the first time he's really been heavily involved in trade rumors in his career. But, yeah, Sabonis is a nice player as well. The thing about Sabonis, though, is, I mean, he's a two-time All-Star, so I think that they probably would want John Collins and DeAndre Hunter in a deal for Sabonis. So,
no, man, we got draft picks. Jordan, come on now. Come on now. We got draft picks. Oh, he even switched over. We got draft picks galore. Come on now.
Draft picks, but I mean, it just really depends on what some of these teams are looking for. I do think that Travis Schlenk should – the best player that can be had by just giving up draft picks without giving up any key component, I think certainly we should get that guy, whoever that is.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. You know, I do think they're going to have to do a little bit more defense part in here, though. And just when Clint goes, he's just so one-dimensional. And I just feel like having a guy who can stretch the floor a little bit, I really think it'll open up John Collins' game. I see a lot of complaints about John Collins lately and the fact that he's not putting up huge numbers with the money he's making. But there's only so much you can do with 11.9 shots a game.
It's getting to that point where if he's the most efficient player on the floor, but he only has nine field goal attempts. That's a lot of that is getting him the ball. Sometimes he's going to get the ball and he's taking that immediate shot. But if he's hitting 6 for 9 or 9 for 11 he should be getting 15 to 20 field goal attempts a game right now with everything going on, and he's getting 11, like you said. That's nowhere near enough when he's proven beyond a shadow of a doubt he's the best scorer on our team. Over Trey, even. You see what I'm saying? Because Trey don't.
Efficiency-wise, yes.
That's what I'm saying. So
when a guy's that efficient on his shot, why not get him more shots to see if that efficiency holds
up? Yeah.
This doesn't make any sense to me. And you got Nate as well as the previous coach, both who basically bragged in interviews, well, you know, we don't run any plays, John. Like, that's a good thing.
Like it's a badge of honor or something. It's crazy because, again, like I said yesterday, Gallo played 12 minutes yesterday. And Big O's played 5 minutes in the fourth quarter, that is, you know.
Right.
And again, you're Ty Turner at that point. And then you wanted to put everybody else who wasn't doing anything. You know, Kevin only had 2 points. Why was he put back? You see what I'm saying? That doesn't make any sense. Like, stuff like that, it just hurts.
The thing with Kevin Hurt is when he's not scoring well, he's also usually not defending well either. And that's a problem for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was hoping that he had turned the corner with his consistency, but he's still inconsistent. Now, he goes through stretches where he plays very well, but we still need to see overall consistency with him. And like I said, the main thing is your offense should not affect your defense. You know what I mean? You should be able to bring it on defense no matter what's going on the offensive end of the court. But like I said, as far as John goes, I think that we're not putting him in the best position to succeed. And I think if he was allowed to be the primary role man, the pick and roll again, I think you see his numbers go up closer to what they were a couple of years ago when he averaged about almost 22 points. You know what I mean? But that's one of the main reasons why, you know, not just the fact that Clint Capella is not playing as well as he played last year, but just the fact that I just feel like in order for John to be all he could be, we need somebody that's more versatile so John isn't forced to play a stretch role almost all the time as opposed to being the primary finisher.
Yeah.
Like, that's his strongest suit. That's what he should be. But I don't know, man. I don't understand why, you know, our coaching staff doesn't see these same things.
Well, they either don't see them or they see them and they don't care. And then for me, that's a problem because it's like, well, why do you think all the other people are being successful and we're not? And you don't want to do what they're doing to us. That's a problem for me. You see what I'm saying? And again, it's like, if you're not even going to play defense, at least give us some offensive, you know, continuity to where we can actually stay in game since we're not going to play no defense. I don't care if we don't play defense as long as we can actually formatively score for four quarters if that's what it's going to come down to. But if you're not even – again, it's just those little principles to say, how come you're letting this happen? If you are coaching it and the players are not doing what you say, why are you letting them on the floor for 25 minutes a game and giving us 4 points and no defense? That's crazy talk because no other coach would let you do it like that. They just wouldn't. Coach Tibbs is one of the best at that. You're about to sit for a week. You see what I'm saying? Why can't we do that? Like, why can't we do that? Like, there shouldn't be no can't because the coach is the coach. No player can just walk on the floor on their own. No player can just put themselves in the lineup. You see what I'm saying? The coach runs all that. And, again, that's my biggest issue. And I'm like, if that right there could just be fixed to be like, hey, anybody, if you're messing up, you're probably not going to play as much as you think until you get yourself right. Are you right, Kevin? Are you right, Trey? Are you right, John? Whatever it is, mistakes or bad shots or whatever, bad decision-making, you got to be put in a position of discipline because players want to be coached. I've said this from the beginning. Players yearn to be coached, but if you refuse to do that, then they're going to be like, well, I guess we just got to do whatever, like the Lakers right now.
Right. And I just don't understand because one other thing, you know, Nate – McMillan said it himself a while back that he was going to take over play calling for the fourth quarter. Okay, but yet and still, we don't see sets being run to get guys open shots in their spots. We don't see sets being run to get guys the ball in their spots. What I've seen, and shout out to Glenn Willis on Twitter, who breaks a lot of this stuff down on video, but what I've been seeing recently is the whole game plan of the fourth quarter is to run a pick to try to get a switch and then allow Trey to go isolation one-on-one down the stretch of the fourth quarter. When they're running the pick, they're not running the pick with any kind of force to try to get a basket. They're running the pick strictly to get a switch. And when they get that switch, it's isolation all down
the stretch. And everything stops because everybody is standing on the side.
Right, and Trey is as good a ball handler, as good a one-on-one player as we have in this league. But we've seen time and time again, consistently isolating all the time is just not the formula for winning basketball. Allen Iverson is one of the best one-on-one players this game has ever seen, and he couldn't win a championship playing iso ball all day long.
Mm-mm.
And so I don't understand, you know, when they said he's going to take over play call in the fourth quarter, is that truly what he feels like gives us the best chance to win games down the stretch? Is to just force the switch and let Trey isolate one-on-one with no ball movement, no player movement, no screens on the other side of the court or anything? I just don't understand.
When it was initially said that that was going to happen, you know what I thought of? That's what I thought. So at the end of the day, The other part of the screen part of the game is we self-inflict traps on Trey all the doggone time because we don't move without the ball. Again, going back to my old basketball videos, one of the things I used to say is, okay, I'm going down low. If y'all move, I'm getting y'all a wide open shot because I'm going to pass y'all the ball. You see what I'm saying? Or I'm going to set you a screen and you're going to have a wide open shot. I always say a screen should count as an assist when done right, you know. But we don't do any of those things. And I'm like, how come? Because we got some great spot-up doggone shooters on our team and we don't set no screens at all? That's interesting. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, if you're taking over this, and in the fourth quarter, we continue to lose leads in the fourth quarter because we can't sustain the offense, and or you can't give us the opportunity to actually hit great shots. You might not hit the shot, but at least give us the great shot. And what's really happening, and Gallo done said it, we just out there. There ain't no structure. There is no rhyme or reason. We just kind of fiddly do, fiddly dee.
No defined rules.
When you say that, when a player says that, that's as scary as it can get. And that is the reason why you have to look at it from the standpoint of what does a coaching change need to be made from a year ago? Because like you kind of alluded, it was only part of a season. And maybe I just don't agree that was a flash in the pan. I believe we were a good team. We were a good team then. And Nate was doing all the things necessary to win. But something has happened. And whatever that is, Travis Slank can't wait no more, I don't think. We have 25.
Well,
again.
Nate, if you just want to go home and be with your family, man,
just say
let
so.
Us know. You know what I mean?
Like, he accepted the contract. I always tell people, nobody made him sign it. If he was that in limbo about it and wanting to sit and wait and talk and whatnot, and it really wasn't in it to win it, he should have gave somebody else an opportunity. But now that he's in it, he's responsible for this. You know what I'm saying?
Another thing that's just confusing to me, and it touched back on me a little bit, is the whole Cam Reddish situation. I mean, obviously, we failed somewhere in his development. You know what I mean? For him not to be further along than he was. Now, I understand that he asked out earlier in the season. I don't kind of quite understand that, especially since he hadn't really played for Nate, except for just a few games in the Eastern Conference Finals. But yet and still, so is that why you were playing TLC over him?
That's a revelation. I didn't even really think of it from that standpoint.
But if that's the case, though.
Oh, my goodness.
Would it make sense to play Cam to increase his trade value? So we may have could have got a higher first round.
We could have got Kevin Durant.
and, you know, I don't know how Cam is going to become the star that he wants to be in New York, but unfortunately that's his problem, New York's problem.
Yeah.
That's no longer our problem. But it just seems mighty strange that even if you wanted to trade Cam, you still play him over TLC more because you increased the trade value. So the whole thing just doesn't make any sense to me, sir. To me, I mean, obviously, sometimes you have these situations where guys or journeymen or, you know, not a guy you invested in, and they come in and play great. But TLC hasn't been that great. He had one great game where he made a bunch of three-pointers. And he is by far, opponents are shooting well over 50% against him from three-point range, which is the worst on the team among perimeter defenders. So it's not like he's out there locking anybody down. It just doesn't make any sense to me that you're playing a journeyman guy over guys that you had stuff invested in like Cam and a guy who you still have a first-round pick invested in like Jalen Johnson. So the whole thing's just baffling.
Yeah, that's a great point, and that makes us have to be like,
congratulations, you played yourself.
You know what I'm saying? So thank you, DJ Khaled. Appreciate that. So, you know, it's again, these are valid questions being asked right now, everybody, when you watch this. And again, we shouldn't be in the situation, but we are. Can Travis turn this around? I mean, as an organization, do we want it to turn around? I mean, again, it's like we have 25 losses. It should never have gotten this far in. But we are. And so now the reality is, can it be turned around to have a legitimate season? Because right now we're very illegitimate. We're a laughing stock right now. We were booed in our own doggone arena. That can't happen again. That, It was. I had flashbacks, Jordan. I thought I was in Phillips.
Other night when we lost to Miami at home, and you could hear that "Let's Go Eat" chant so loud, man.
It was bad,
God. It was to the point where even Mr. Young talked about it on Twitter, Mr. Gray Young. He was like, "Could y'all hear that on TV as loud as that sounded in the arena?" And everybody was like, "Yeah, we can hear it on TV, radio too." You know,
and
it's just a shame. But at the same time, you know, when the team is down by 19, it's hard for the fans to drown that out also, though. So,
but that's the other principle of it all, is that where's the team pride in, you know, in this regard, as far as that goes, because eventually somewhere in there, okay, if it's on the coaching side, the players have to be like, we got to draw a line in the sand, and we can't allow this anymore. We know we're not doing these things too, because we're out here not doing it. We see the score. We see that they are shooting 50% from the 3-point line. 50%? You see what I'm saying? That's crazy. So it's like, at a certain point, it's like you can self-improve. If y'all not practicing it, why don't you suggest, hey, guys, we need to practice on this particular aspect. How can we keep over-helping? Everything is going on over here. Don't got nothing to do with me right here. But why am I staring at everything going on over there while my back is turned? I'm 10 feet away from my man. And when they do penetrate, ball comes around, there's a wide open three. Why does that keep happening? How come we don't know how to block out? How can we keep giving layups up? You know what I'm saying? Like, why are these things happening?
Because we rarely see the zone defense. You know what I mean? So if we feel like we can't kick people man-to-man, then why not just try to be the super zone team? Play the matchup zone like Syracuse does.
I was watching some college basketball. I don't know if it was Michigan State or somebody, and I'm like, man, I wish we could do that, but we won't. You know what I'm saying? I wish we could just do. And there was, I know it was. It was the coach of Michigan State or DePaul or somebody, and he was just basically like, you're by yourself. You're all alone. You're not going to overhelp because you're going to stay with your man. Your man beats you, he beats you. But we're not going to let that happen to where we're going to give up a wide open shot. We're not going to do it. If we could just do that, have that mindset, we'd be much better. But for whatever reason, we just keep doing the same thing game after game after game with teams that shoot 34% and now they're at 42% from three. You see what I'm saying? Why do they have 48 points in the paint? You see what I'm saying? This is every doggone game. And I'm like, we have better players than that on this floor, but they're not put in the best positions. They're not getting the minutes that they should be having to eliminate those things. And we have them on the team. And again, people just get pulled out. Momentum. Again, this is a feel. If you don't have a good feel for your team and what's going on situational, again, you said it. Oh, well, we were going to put Big O back in, but we just didn't have enough time. What do you mean you got timeouts? What do you mean make somebody call a foul, like kick somebody in the face or something to put them back in? Because right now we're losing the game again because of this one thing. It really did happen. And at that point, you're not that great a coach. If you can't see that for yourself, that's coaching 101 right there. You got to have a feel of the game. Are you not seeing what's happening? Are you not paying attention?
Right.
That's scary.
My other issue is I don't see enough picking up for the players. Some of the non-calls on these plays with Trey and John is just ridiculous, man. At some point, you got to throw your clipboard across the arena. You got to punt the basketball into the rafters. You got to do something. You know what I mean?
I'm trying to find something I can throw. I'm not saying you gotta throw a whole human body on the floor or even a chair, but to not let he got to at least get fined. You gotta at least get the technical to do something, because John Collins this season has been so inordinately targeted. It's targeting as far as I'm concerned now. It's embarrassing to the league. But at a certain point, you got to make it aware by being the coach.
Big O,
he's been getting some crazy stuff happening lately.
Yeah, he can't hardly breathe without it being a foul called on him. But when somebody fouls him, his limb across the face, Nothing is called.
Yeah.
You can't keep standing for that if you're the coach. Like if you go off on a couple of referees and make them nervous defensively, they're gonna be like, man, this fool crazy.
Yeah.
You gotta call something here.
Again, Hoosiers, look, if he needs to get kicked out of the game, he needs to get kicked out of the game. You know, if everybody got to get fouled out the game and we only got four players, he needs to do my team. That's my team right there. I got four players. We can play 4-on-15. We can do it. That's what we need to do because it's getting out of whack. And again, it may be punishment because we were two games away from the finals and the NBA, Mr. Silver didn't want that. Emperor Silver don't like the Atlanta Hawks. Okay, fine. However, he's doing a little overboard right now. I'm going to just put it like that. I can say it because I don't care about getting fined. I can say anything I want to, right? So anyway.
Yeah. I don't either. So I will say this. Sean Holmes, you are not welcome in the ATL, sir. Sean Holmes.
Yeah.
Not welcome here, sir.
He got watch his back because otherwise. All right, well, that being said, y'all, before we actually do get fined by somebody on the SEC or FCC or whatever, we're going to get off the line for now. First of all, I do want to say thanks to everybody who did watch and or listen on Blog Talk Radio. Again, this is our first show in 7 months. I think it actually went pretty decent doing two shows at the same time. I didn't think I could pull it off, but I did. So we'll see how it listens and watches after we record everything and sync it all up. We'll see how it worked out. Of course, the Atlanta Braves won the World Series. We're going to definitely talk about that next show. UGA won a national championship. Bama might not be dead, but they're dying. At least we hope so. And then, like I said, we'll see what the Hawks can do, pull it out. The Falcons, they improved. Atlanta United, we'll see what they can do this year, 2022. And hopefully the Dream can get back to their winning ways as well. They're definitely due at this point. Make sure you stop by Facebook and Instagram, IMTN Worldwide Radio, the YouTube page, IMTN Worldwide Radio, where you can actually watch this right now live. It's pretty cool, I think. There will be some more videos posted there of just sports in general, so be looking out for that. Twitter, IMTN Radio and Intellect ATL. Jordan, tell people where they can find you on social media as well.
Jordan23ATL on Twitter. Haven't been really doing a lot of writing lately, but looking to get back into it here, and certainly will keep you guys posted on that. I started out this show by giving a shout-out to my guy, Jamie Goodman. I want to end this show by giving a shout-out to my guy as well. You know, that's my brother from another mother, grew up together, South Georgia boys in the Albany, Georgia area. I cannot tell you guys how many conversations we had frustrated after the end of Georgia's losses when things didn't turn out how we thought they were. That goes back from before the Mark Rick era all the way through the Coach Rick era, even into the early years of the Kirby Smart era. I'm just so happy that we finally got it done. So shout out to my guy, man. You know, like I said, that's my UGA guy. We had a lot of brokenhearted conversations, man. So it was so great to have that conversation after us winning the championship. Gotta give props to Stetson Bennett, man, the mailman. I doubted you, mailman. I'm sorry. You got it done. You, sir, are a legend, and a Disney movie should be made about you. Well, thank you, everybody out here for listening to this show, watching this show, and everybody who will see this after the fact. We also appreciate you listening and watching as well. Try to catch us in the future live. We love your interaction, your participation, and just love to hear the opinions of all the Atlanta sports fans out there. And certainly last but not least, I want to thank God for giving me this breath that I breathe to talk about these Atlanta and these Georgia sports that I love. Go Braves, go Dawgs.
Thank you, sir. Shout out to Jamal and Linda for chiming in earlier. They were our first viewers on StreamYard, so we appreciate that. Hooray, what's up? So we're going to close out. I don't have technically a closeout video yet, so what I'm going to try to do to see if this works is do the intro video as the closeout for the first time because I don't know how to actually do all this, so we're going to try it out. But until next time, y'all, again, this is Chris on IMTN Worldwide Radio. This was Around the ATL, the first show of 2022. We got it in. Wasn't going to do 2 hours, but we were 4 minutes away from 2 hours, so we did it anyway. So whatever, you know. Okay. All right, so let's do this, and y'all take care. Peace out.